జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం త్రిలా ప్రవిష్టో విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహు శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్. శ్రీమద్భాగవతాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమే వహీ స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదస్ అర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవై ముహ్యంది యత్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరము నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవదే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వరై సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాత్. నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం బలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుగాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొణిదాదృదానేందో మమ వాజి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీమ్నా కనికాభి గాభి గాభి. నమో ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശാം യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, in the Bhagavad Gita, what we talked about last Sunday was the 8th verse, isn't it? Verse 7 and 8. On the 8th verse, Krishna was saying, Jnana vijnana traptalma kutastho vijinendriya yukta ityuchyade yogi samaloshtashma kanchana. So, Krishna mentions there that jnanam vijnanam, two things, isn't it? Jnanam and Vijnanam. And Truptatma Kodastho Vijitendriya. Krishna says there that the Kodastha means one who does not move inside, who sits inside without any movement. So, in other words, one who has seen his own Swarupam, his own realization or self-realization has happened to him, and that person, he does not move anymore. No more movements inside. So, one who has realized the self, in other words. Kodastho Vijinendriya. Vijinendriya means one who has won over the senses. So, Krishna says here that because of that realization of the soul or self-realization, Yuktam Iti Achyude, and Krishna says you can call him as yogi. You are calling him as yogi. So, in other words, one who has kept everyone in their own positions. In their own positions. Samaloshtashma kanchana. Krishna says there, Samaloshtashma kanchana. In other words, he says that for him, a stone, a pebble, or a stones or gold, whatever it may be, they are all equal for him. What is the reason for that? Because everything that is separated from the soul, anything that is outside the soul, he says here that he knows very well that it is false, that it is Maya, Maya's creation. So therefore, for him, there is no speciality with anything, no attachment either to gold or to the stone. As far as he is concerned, because they have come from the soul, although in appearance they may differ, in their color or in their appearance they may be differ, but still because they have come from the soul, Krishna, they know very well, they have realized the self and they know that they are not different from the soul. They are not different from the soul. Or, in other words, whatever that is, is not realized as the soul, or who is separated from the soul, that's all considered to be Maya. It is the Maya who creates that feeling of different matter or perceptions of different material objects in this world. It is the potency of Maya. So therefore, he has no attraction for anything. We have seen that also. And we also mentioned that about the goal, the properties of the goal we are discussing. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how Parikshit Maharaj was, how Kali was begging to Parikshit Maharaj, that to offer him a place to stay, and Parikshit offered him the place as the place of wherever there is gold, there is a lot of wealth. Jadarupam Adal Prabhu, Rajo Vairanja Panchamam, he says the fifth one that was offered to him. So a person who has Samabuddhi, or who has seen all these things, and he has understood that they are all separated from the, they are not different from the soul, but they have taken a different form. So such a person, Krishna says that you can call him as a yogi. Who can call him as a yogi? Krishna is discussing now in this sixth chapter the characteristics of a yogi. So that is what we have seen last Sunday. Now in the next verse, Krishna talks about another feature of this yogi. That is the next verse, verse 9. Suhran Mitrarudasina Madhyastha Dvesha Bandhushu Swadushabija Papeshu Samabhuddhir Vishishyate Suhran Mitrarudasina Madhyastha Dvesha Bandhushu Sadushvabija Papeshu Samabhuddhir Vishishyate Suhran Mitrari Udasinan Madhyastha Dvesha Bandhushu Sadhushu Abija Papeshu Samabhuddhir Vishishyate. Krishna is saying a person is said to be still further advanced when he regards all the honest well-wisher, friends and enemies, the envious, the pious, the sinner, and those who are indifferent and impartial with an equal mind. With an equal mind. So that is the first thing. Suhran Mitra Yudasinan Maya Madhyastha Dvesha Bandhushu Sadhushu Abhija Papeshu Samabuddhir Vishishyade. Let's look at that verse. Now, Suhran Mitra, Krishna says here, who is a Suhrat? Suhrat means Suhrat and Mitram. There are two words there, if you can see there. Suhrat means one who has very close to you. It was a close connection in the heart. Some friends who are very close to you. Mitram means a little bit different. Mitram means one who is always with you and who is willing to do anything to offer you any help, what is necessary. One is a well-wisher. That means he wishes you well. He has no inimical feelings towards you, but who always wishes well for you. That is Suhrat. Mitram is a little different. Mitram is one who is closer to you, but who is always with you in all your efforts and giving you all helps, offer all the helps. Krishna says here, Suhrat Mitra Udasina. Udasina means whatever you may do, he is not bothered. He is not bothered. And who has no particularly any close affinity towards others. That is Udasina. Who has no affinity towards anyone. So, Suhran Mitra Udasina. In other words, suppose there is, he has a neutral position. He is not bothered this way or that way. Either way, he doesn't bother. Ari means Shatru, enemy. So, Suhran Mitran Udasinan Madhyastha Dvesha Bandhushu Mitra Ari. Suhran Mitran Ari Udasinan. Ari means enemy. Ari means enemy. So, Madhyastha means two people are fighting each other and one who stands in between to make a compromise between two people who are fighting. Possibly that he will also get beaten up from both sides. that is Madhyastha. Madhyastha's position is always like that. He stands in between the two and he gets probably beaten up by both sides, and still he is willing to take that chance. He is Madhyastha. Then Dvesha. Dvesha means one who hates others. And Bandhu, one who is a relative. Krishna says, Bandhu shum, that in all these people, what Krishna has listed here, which means Sukhrat, Mitram, Ari, Udasinan, Madhyastan, Dvesham, Bandushu, and Sadhushu. Sadhushu means Sadhu, Mahatmas, and towards them also. Abhija Pabeshu, all those who are engaged in very sinful activities. Pabeshu, sinful activity. People are absorbed in sinful activities. Samabuddhiru Vishishyade. Krishna says Samabuddhi is the nature of such a person. So when we read all this, how do we understand that? We think, how is that possible to have this mood with everyone? But it is possible. How does that happen? In the realized state, what Krishna's point is this. When self-realization happens, it is at that point the ragam and dvesham has completely gone from inside. Ragadvesham, remember? Kartrutva, Bhoktrutvam, Ragadveshav. These four things, when they have from Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam comes Ragadvesham, isn't it? So Ragadvesham has completely gone away from them. And in that situation, he is a completely liberated soul. He is a jnani, Nityamukta. And for jnani alone, this is possible. This is only possible for the realized souls. And doesn't matter whether he is a great personality or is a small personality, but that equal mind towards everyone. That is only possible for the jnanis. Nobody else, it's possible. That's why Krishna is saying here, Suhran Mitram Udasinan, Suhran Mitrari Udasinan Madhyastha Dvesha Bandushu. See that. Complete contrast, isn't it? From one to another. When you look at it, you can see the nature of the people are so different. And to come to this understanding that they are all Krishna's presence in every one of them, and to accept them in that way is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. Therefore, it is only possible for those. And this is one point where one can understand whether he is realized or not. Whether he is realized or not. For example, many, many Mahatmas, if you look into their life, into their history, you will see that they had this vision in them, whether the rich people came, poor person came, or a powerful person came, or a weaker person came. Doesn't matter. A beautiful person came, or ugly person came. All of them, including the animals, they had this equal vision towards them. And that is due to that realization, the state of realization in which they are in. So, many, many cases this has happened in the past. And in one instance, so many great spiritual personalities came, politicians came, and towards all of them, it's the same relationship, unaffected by anything who has come. And that is a state of perfection in spiritual life. In other words, due to self-realization, ragadvesham doesn't exist anymore. Inside is a mirror. There is no vasanas inside, completely released from all kinds of effects on the consciousness, with the result is that a person sees every living entity as nobody different than the presence of Krishna within them. So, it is interesting to know this. Normally, you will, in the modern world, what you will see is that when there is a, when realization hasn't happened, so Krishna wanted to tell us that before we judge a Mahatma, don't judge based on the dress. This is what the point Krishna is making. See inside that person how he is reacting with this world. And there you will notice what state of realization that person is. Because in the earlier verse, if you look in the fifth chapter, Krishna mentioned, we talked about this in the fifth chapter, that in the when we looked at the fifth chapter, Krishna was trying to explain to us that the Kama Krodha Vimuktanam in verse 26, Kama Krodha Vimuktanam Yadinam Yadachetasam Abhido Brahma Nirvanam Vartade Vididatmanam. If you remember that verse, we talked about that when we discussed the fifth chapter. Kamam Krodham, which is nothing but Ragam Dvesham, isn't it? Ragam Dvesham turns into Kamam Krodham. So if Ragam and Dvesham has left, that means attachment and aversion. This both has gone away from him. Completely gone. In that state alone, he is realized. He is realized. Ragadvesha vimuktanam, kamakrodha vimuktanam, yadinam, yata chetasam. That is, chetas consciousness is such that he is not disturbed by anyone when somebody is rich or somebody is poor. When you sit in some Mahatma's presence, you will observe these things very well. And there you can see that you are in the presence of a Mahatma or a great personality or a Mahatma or a great soul. That is a point where you will understand whether that personality is he a Mahatma or not. What state of realization he is. Quite often you find this in the modern world when people make a propaganda about a Mahatma. Many people will come. As soon as a very wealthy person, Mahatma is gone. Then the Mahatma is not seen anymore. So Mahatmas are not that. Mahatma nastu mam prartha devim prakritim ashrita. Krishna is saying there that Mahatma is that person from him inside. He knows very clearly, unaffected by any such changes inside. They are not in this world to please anybody. They don't need to please anybody because already they are satisfied within. When you are not satisfied within, you have to please others. Isn't it? So already that total satisfaction has come. So they have withdrawn from this world. Mahalpanastu mamparta. That's the same thing Krishna is repeating here. That Krishna is saying that samas the samam suhran mitran ari udasinan. Look at all of them are different. Suhrit is different, mitram is different, ari is different, udasin is different, and madhyastha is different, dvesha is different, bandushu is different, sadhushu, abhija pabeshu, they are all different. And in all these circumstances, there is no movement inside the mind. The mind is peaceful, mind is in shanti. Such a person, Krishna says, samabuddhir visheshari, that is that samatvam Krishna is talking about. Earlier we have seen, vidyavine sampanne brahmane gavi hastini, shunijaiva shobageja pandita samadarshina. Pandita means a learned person is that person, that vidya vinaya sampannan brahmanan, gavi hastini, shuni shobagan, and pandita, they are all samadarshana, equal vision. It does not come from the false ego. That's not possible. If we think that I'll mentally do it from now on, in my mind I'll decide they are all equal now and will deal with them in that way, equal way. That won't work. In some instances, once a president came to see one sage, and at that point there were many others who were sitting in the assembly of the sage. So one person among the group who were assembled there, they asked the sage, what is Maya? He didn't answer. He kept quiet. Because Maya is not possible to explain to anyone what is Maya means. Maya is something, agatina gatana, padiyasi Maya. Very difficult to explain what Maya is. So knowing very well, the sage kept quiet. The president came to see him. Very well-known president, high scholar, high philosopher, president. He came to see him. After he came down and sat there, the sage sat down without unaffected by anything. He sat in his presence for a couple of hours and he got up and he walked out from there. The president walked out from there. When the president left, so many others who were present there before, they also walked out with him. After some time, the president is gone. He got into his car and they've drawn off. So they all came back. So at that point, the sage says to him, the person who asked the question, he has also got up and gone away. And when he came back, he says to him, you asked me the question, what's Maya? This is Maya, he said. That's how you can explain Maya. Through examples. That you can only explain because it's Maya that makes us to think somebody is higher and somebody is lower. Nobody is higher, nobody is lower. On an absolute platform, from Krishna's point of view, it is the same soul who is present in everyone. Where is the question of higher and lower? That is our modes of nature has created that feeling. So in self-realization, Krishna says here that everything changes. Our realization changes. And so if it is in this connection that Krishna says here that people who go, when they are not satisfied in this world, they will wander around here, there, everywhere. And for them, samabuddhi is very difficult. Samabuddhi won't happen. Samabuddhir vishishyade, Krishna says. So it is in this state that one has to take the shelter of the spiritual master and Krishna. But important point here, this is very, very important. This is where things all get deviated from spiritual life. When we see the spiritual master, if you see him as the body and worship him throughout life in the as the body, then you will be lost in that process. It will not happen. Because you are seeing the body of the person. And in the modern spiritual world, it is quite common in that way. That simply seeing the spiritual master as the body and worshipping the body. And this has happened. And even if you get a Mahatma, what will we do? We'll worship his body and make the whole thing a mockery. That's what we do. That even if we find a Mahatma, first of all we ask, where is the Mahatma, where is the Mahatma? When you find a Mahatma, first thing what we do, we'll start worshipping his body all the time. And eventually, in that process, we'll make the whole relationship false. Whole relationship is false. So, if you worship the body of a person, if you worship the body of the person, then you will kill him at the end by that worship. By that worship, you'll kill him at the end. Actually, worship is not for the body. Worship is for the knowledge in that person. The worship is for them. So if you worship that knowledge, little by little, you will come to this state of samadarshitvam. Equal vision will come to him. Otherwise, it won't happen. It has happened to many people in the spiritual life. By the time they realized, it was too late. They simply fall onto the bodily platform. If you start worshipping the body, what is the benefit? At the end, the body will go its own. Body belongs to material nature. Body, you cannot do anything with it. And we take this body so seriously, but not accepting the knowledge what he has realized. What the spiritual master has realized is more important. Not what his body looks like. He may look like anyone. It doesn't matter. That is not important. That is important point Krishna is saying. So samadarshitvam comes at the point when the relationship with the spiritual master is on a spiritual platform. When it's on a material platform, we worship him in the body, offer flowers, obeisances, everything, so many things we do, all knowing very well that he is that body. He is that body. And if we continue that worship in that way, samadarshitvam, equal vision, will never develop inside. So that samadarshitvam is there. If a samadarshitvam or that equal vision is inside, what will happen is our chittavritti will stop. The flow of the thoughts will come to a standstill. And if we have a lot of chittavritti inside, and naturally what will happen is the mind will start picking and choosing from this world. He is good, he is bad, or someone is favorable, someone is my enemy. All these thoughts will come. And if you hate something, you will think about it a lot, if you hate somebody. And if you have no specific attachment to anything, either loving relationship or hating relationship, the mind will always stay in that state of yoga system, yoga state. That's what Krishna is saying here. The reason why in this particular verse Krishna is saying this is how to develop dhyanam inside, isn't it? In order to create that meditation mood inside. Dhyanam won't happen when we have attachment and aversion in this world. Dhyanam cannot happen. Because why? All the thoughts will be centered around attachment. All other thoughts will be centered around aversion. They will not allow for dhyanam, for meditation to develop. That continuous flow of thought will not happen inside. That is why Krishna is saying here, prior to happening to dhyanam, this state of suhran mitra udasinam madhyastha dvesha bandushu. All these, the relationship with all the people has to come into the same level, same status. When it comes to same status, Krishna says that there is no more attachment or aversion, the mind is free. Mind is free. There is no chittavritti inside. And when there is no chittavritti inside, there is no specific, any special attachment to anything or any special aversion to anything. When it is like that, when there is no attachment or aversion inside, in that way, Krishna says here, he is in the state of yoga, yoga state. So, as we've seen before, The mind has got two states, isn't it? Vishamastiti and Samastiti. So Samastiti, or Samatvam Yoga Muchyade, Krishna is saying, Samastiti is that state that what Krishna is discussing here, that there is no special attachment or aversion to anything. Vishamastiti is what we have seen, the three states, Layam, Vishayam, Layam, Vikshayam, and Kashayam, the three states of the mind in the Vishamastiti. Vishamastiti means unbalanced state. Samastiti means balanced state. So Vishamastiti can be either of the three. Which one? Layam, Vikshayam, or Kashayam, which we have seen before. Vikshayam means, while sitting here, so many thoughts are coming and going through. Although physically here, mind is somewhere else. That is that Vikshayam. It means it throws you away from your focus. You are trying to focus on something, but you are thrown away from that. Vikshayam. So then what happens is Vikshayam. Layasthiti, when mind, you cannot focus on something properly, the mind is not accepting it. From that Vikshayam, when the mind is no more able to adjust with that situation, it will go into sleep mode. That's called Layasthiti. Now, there is a third state which is called Kashayasthiti. Kashayasthiti means it is neither Vikshayam nor Layam, but in that state, that is when you notice that a mood off state, no interest in anything, completely bored with everything, and no interest at all in want to do something but can't do it. The mind is not favorable. Mind is gone against your own thoughts. So in other words, that is a Kashayasthiti. So whatever it may be, these three states, Samasthiti, in the difference is there. Come Kashayasthiti, when you come to the Samasthiti, in Samasthiti you are in full alertness, completely alert about everything. So in order to get to that Samasthiti, Krishna is saying here, in Vyavaharam, somehow or the other, we have to bring the Chittavritti down. Chittavritti, if you keep bringing it down in Vyavaharam, Samasthiti will come. That is the principle behind it. One cannot be very active in Vyavaharam and to keep that Samasthiti. That is difficult, at least in the initial stages. In the advanced state, it is different. But constantly involved in Vyavaharam or transactions in this world, and at the same time to maintain that balanced state, Krishna says this is very difficult. So if you have no special attraction to anything, and if you get to a state where the mind does not move anymore, if that happens, then in meditation it will be possible to keep the mind under control. All the problem what we have while engaged in meditation, dhyanam, Krishna is saying there, is your mind is not under control. It is constantly bombarded with the thoughts. Thought waves constantly coming in and attacking. So in Vyavaharam means the transactions in this world, it is not possible to get the mind in the proper state. Because it's Vyavaharam. That's why it's called Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means there you cannot get the mind, because in Vyavaharam there will be attachment and aversion. Attachment and aversion will be there. So unless we change this Vyavaharam, these transactions in this world, you cannot get dhyanam. Meditation will not happen. So it is just like this. So just like if you observe the aeroplanes, when they take off, you have seen, first they start slow, then they go very fast running, and suddenly then lift off, isn't it? When they take off from the runway, initially they start at a slow speed and then they keep moving, speed goes up and eventually gets very fast and then they suddenly take off. So it is the same thing what we have to do in Vyavaharam also. In order to get the meditation going, dhyanam to happen, in order to have the dhyanam happen, initially you have to slowly come down from Vyavaharam. And Vyavaharam, once you come off and keep reducing it more and more, the transactions of this world, at that point Krishna says that at some stage you will be completely released from Vyavaharam, and then you have taken off for dhyanam. Meditation will happen. So at that stage you have no attachment or aversion towards anything. No ragam, no dvesham anywhere. And if this state happens, then you can start the dhyanam. At that point, dhyanam is possible. So you can see the problem that Krishna is saying here, this chapter 6, what we are discussing now, then you will notice Krishna talks about that in preparation to that a lot of things. Preparation to that, a lot of things. Arjuna asked, how should I meditate? Immediately Arjuna's question was, how should I meditate? So Krishna is saying here that that's very simple, he says. Meditation is very simple. For example, just sit down in lotus position, close your eyes and meditate. If you say like that, the answer also very simple, isn't it? Arjuna is asking a very simple question, it appears. How do I meditate? So Krishna's answer is, sit down in lotus position, close your eyes and meditate. What's the problem? So you know that the answer is not so simple. Once it so happened, a mother asked one Swamiji, how do I meditate? I am doing a lot of chanting, japam. I am doing a lot of puja, deity worship and other things. But I am not making any progress. She said to him, I'm not making any progress. So he said to him, do some meditation. Dhyanam is necessary, he said. So she asked, how do I meditate? What did he do? He sat down there, and he sat there in meditation for 5 hours, continuously, non-break. And she couldn't do anything about it. She sat there watching him for 5 hours, 5 hours, solid 5 hours, he sat there in meditation. So this thing called meditation, you can't keep lecturing about it. Do like this, do like that. The control has to happen inside, not outside. When the chittavritti stops there, complete meditation process goes away. Complete chittavritti stops inside, meditation will naturally develop. Chittavritti is our enemy there in engaging in meditation. If we realize that, we can understand that. So, instead, if you tell a person, close your eyes and sit in a lotus position and try not to think about anything, will it work? It will come more then. If you tell the mind not to think about anything, more thoughts will come. That's the very nature of the mind, isn't it? Often devotees also say, I was chanting and I was trying to focus on the form of Krishna, but mind is not staying, it's going elsewhere. And I was thinking, focusing how to hear the sound vibration, but I was hearing all other things in this world except the holy name. Everything else I've heard in this world in the 2 hours. And this happens not first day or second day, after 30 years also this is happening. So it's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. Why is that like that? That is why this Dhyana Yogam is important. When one wants to understand the problems involved in spiritual life, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna. That is the point. Then the important thing Krishna says there, that if you are in the presence of a powerful personality who is in that state, immediately you will also experience that dhyanam inside. That is the influence of the Mahatmas. If you are in the presence of a Mahatma who has reached that state of realization, in his presence you will notice your own chittavritti, the thought waves, will come down, considerably come down. That is the first symptom of that association. That's what association means. So, when those Mahatmas are in that state, Krishna's point is this. This is very important. When Mahatmas are in that state, then in their presence, unknowingly, a peace comes inside and a stillness comes inside. And in Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha Maharshi says like this. He says, and they are in the Yogarudha state. Yogarudha means they have already reached the state of perfection. Even if you go to them and talk to them about material topics, still you will make spiritual progress. Vasishtha Maharshi is saying this in the Yoga Vasishtam. If you have met a personality like that, a Mahatma, who has become, Krishna talked about two types of people, isn't it? Aryarukshu and Yogarudha. Aryarukshu minir yogam karmakaranam uchyade. Yogarudhasya tasyaiva shamakaranam uchyade. If you remember that verse earlier we have seen. Aryarukshu minor yogam karmakaranam uchyade. One who has realized and understood this through karmam, he has purified his karmam and he has reached that state, he is going towards that. For him, karmam is important, progressing in that path. He is called Aryarukshu. So Aryarukshu, one who is in the state of Aryarukshu, karmakaranam uchyade, first his problem is karmam. He has to sort out this karmam with himself.
And Yogarudasya Taseiva Shamakaranam Uchyate. One he has reached the state of Yogarudha. Yogarudha means he has reached perfection there. And for him, Shamakaranam Uchyate. Shamam is important. Because it is in his presence, what Krishna is saying here, naturally there will be that Shanti will come to him. So this is the first test of a realized soul. This is not a light statement. This has to be experienced. All great Mahatmas had this quality, realized souls. In their presence, you will experience a Shanti or peace inside. So, even if you go to them and discuss topics related to this world, not about spiritual life, even talks related to topics related to material life, even you will see that in their presence, the mind gets subdued. Mind comes under control. And even if they scold you or abuse you, even then you will feel that there is a happiness coming from inside. There is a happiness coming from inside. That is the effect of great personalities. So, so the main thing is, Krishna is saying here, this yoganubhavam or experience, that stillness from them, inside them, will come to those who are in contact with them. Those who are in contact with them, that stillness come to them and take them to a state of yoga state. Comes happen to them. This is the same thing Krishna talks about as salsangam. Salsangam is also meant for this purpose. And this is the way to find out that thing. So, where do you know that this is possible or not? In Ramayanam, if you look into Sundarakandam, that Hanuman first time went to see Sita Devi. Sita Devi was surrounded by all the Rakshasas who were present, who were assisting Ravana in various ways. So these Rakshasas have the capacity to change their form anytime. When Sita Devi was in a very, very depressed state, Hanuman comes there and wanted to speak to Sita Devi. So when she saw Hanuman first time, Sita Devi thought that this is another Rakshasa. So probably some Rakshasa has dressed up like this and he had come. So Sita was doubting, Sita Devi was doubting very much. Because Sita Devi's experience was like that. Everyone was a Rakshasa who had come. There was nobody else who had come to help Sita Devi. At that time, when Hanuman came there, Sita Devi started experiencing a tremendous amount of happiness and peace inside. So it was then that so Sita Devi started thinking, this must be a Mahatma. Otherwise, how could this happen? And Valmiki says at that point that Sita Devi experienced a natural way, a peace inside and Shanti inside. Sita Devi started saying to Hanuman that you are not one of those Rakshasas, you are different. And because it took some time for Sita Devi to recognize that. And Sita Devi says to Hanuman, I assume that you are not a Rakshasa, you are different. So this is the only way to know who is a Mahatma. If people have this question, who is a Mahatma? This is the answer to that question. Mahatma is such a person that because they have attained perfection in their dhyanam, in their meditation, they have no vasanas inside, therefore in their presence our mind will completely surrender. Our mind will completely surrender and there will be peace inside. It is only for this reason that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Salsangam has been given the most importance, highest importance to Salsangam. Narada Maharshi talks about this in the Bhakti Sutram also. Narada Maharshi's Bhakti Sutram. Narada Maharshi says there is only one way to develop bhakti. And he answers that as Salsangam. Salsangam is the only thing. Salsangam, the result of Salsangam is that even if you sit in the association of Salsangam, and if you have that association, even if you sleep, still you would make the progress on the spiritual life. So exactly, it will have its impact on us. Just like Dusangam. Salsangam opposite is Dusangam, isn't it? Dusangam, even if you do not have much involvement in the Dusangam or in the association of the evil-minded or those who are engaged in sense gratification, even if you don't have involvement in them, in due course you will see that your way of thinking changes. Your way of thinking will change. Why? It's like a bacteria. It will infect. Just being the presence of the those who are engaged in sense gratification. Sense gratification means not the four regulative principles only. Those who are too absorbed in this world with material life, material happiness, just by being in their association, it becomes also has an infection on us. That is dusangam. In the same way, salsangam also is like that. If there is always in the association of those who are absorbed in Krishna, in Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, if you are in their association, naturally that will also infect them, infect others. It will infect them. You will get infected by Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavadam. If you are in the association of materialist people, their materialistic nature will also infect you, just like the bacterial infection or virus or bacteria, whatever they call it. So, why is it like that? Because mind accepts certain vibrations from others without our knowledge. It accepts certain vibrations. So, sattvikam, if those vibrations are in the mode of goodness, they will affect in the mode of goodness. So, rajasic, similarly rajasic also, the mode of passion also in the same way. And similarly, if you go to certain people and you come back, you will get very disturbed after visiting some people. Isn't it? You go to some people and you come back, you are very disturbed after that. Because you don't know what the reason is. The reason is only this, the mind has started moving very much. So therefore Krishna says, salsangam is the only possible way where one can free oneself from this. And the meditation mood comes to a person from salsangam. Meditation mood comes to a person from salsangam. So, in order to do that, Krishna says there that one has to perform sadhana in loneliness, in solitude. Sadhana has to be performed in solitude. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look in the third canto, Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi certain things about it, about this performing meditation. In the Bhagavadam, in two places, meditation process is discussed. One, in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is talking to Uddhava. In another place, in the third canto, from 25 to 33, chapter 25 to 33, Kapila Vasudev instructs Devahudi Devi about Bhakti Yogam, where Dhyanam is recommended. Bhakti ends up in Dhyanam, isn't it? It's an advanced state of Bhakti turns into Dhyanam. Bhakti turns into dhyanam. But that dhyanam has to happen, dhyanam has to get us. We can't sit and do the dhyanam, but dhyanam has to come and capture us. And in other words, by constant absorbing in the sadhana and eventually in the association of salsangam, hearing about bhakti, bhakti sadhana, and prolonging the process of bhakti, eventually bhakti will take care of it itself. That is the process of bhakti. So when that happens, Krishna says here that in the third canto, if you look, you will see there that how to perform this meditation. How to perform this meditation? That is the question that was asked. That is what Krishna answers here, that this meditation process, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there that the dhyanam comes to a person at a stage. When does that happen, it says. And what happens after that and how the meditation should be performed. All these things are discussed. So here, first thing Krishna says, what does dhyanam mean? Dhyanam means we have our swarupam inside. What is our form inside, isn't it? Swarupam. Swarupam means this is not our swarupam. What we have now is a material body. This is not our swarupam. Swarupam is different. Swarupam means our spiritual identity, spiritual realized state. That's Swarupam. So, in the material identity, this is our material identity. In the material identity, we have this material body. in the spiritual identity also, we have a spiritual body which is referred to in the Swarupam, which is referred to as Swarupam. In seven verses in the third canto, in 28th chapter, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi about that form, spiritual form, which is the form of Krishna. That's why Krishna is called as the soul inside. Prasannavadanam bhojam palmagarbha arunayakshanam neelolpaladalashyamam shangajakragadhadharam lasal pangajanginjalkam pidakausheyavasasam shrivalsavakshasam bhrajal kaustubhamuktakandharam matadhvirevakalaya paridam vanamalaya parakhyaravalayam kiridangadanupuram Kanji Kalavasachronim Hadayam Bojavishtaram Darshaniyadamam Shandam Mano Nainavardhanam Apichadarshanam Shashul Sarvaloka Namaskradam Sandam Vaisi Kaishore Vrityanugraha Kadharam Kirtanya Tirtaisha Sampunya Shlokesha Skaram Dhyayel Devam Samagrangam Yavannal Chevadimanam Stidam Brajandamasinam Shayanam Vakuhashayam Prakshaniyehidam Dhyayel Shuddhabhavena Chetasam. This is actually the Krishna's form in the four-handed form is for the meditation. That is how you see in Bhagavatam, Ekadashaskandam also, when meditation is discussed, it is the four-handed form. Yogis meditate on that form, isn't it? So in these seven verses, talks about Krishna's form and how one should see that form. Prasanna Vadanam Bhojam Padma Garbha Arunayakshanam. So, beautiful form of Krishna. In other words, Krishna's form looks like that, just like a lotus flower, and the inside of the lotus flower, that color, a light reddish color, isn't it? Rose color, more like, or like a pinkish color. So, it says in that way, and Krishna's eyes are like that. And Krishna's color, neelolpalam. That means like a bluish darkness. And the four conchal disc, lotus flower, and the club. Four things in the hand. That form one should meditate on, it says. And lasal pangajaminjalkam pita kausheya vasasam. The dress, yellow garment. Is wearing, and Srivalsam is on the chest. This is a Vishnu's form. Srivalsam is on the chest, and Kaustubham is in the neck. Wearing the Kaustubham, wearing the Srivalsam, yellow garment, and all the other parts of the body is told how we should see the body of Vishnu. And all other associated ornaments. Jewelry, what Krishna is wearing, very expensive garlands, and also anklets, and what do they call the bangles on the shoulders? I don't know what the English names are, and one has to meditate on that. Krishna says here, it's Kapila Vasudeva says here, and at the later on he says, Abhicha Darshanam Shashwat. Sarvaloka Namaskradam Sandam Vaisi Kaishore Vrityanugraha Kadaram. Krishna says here that one who is known all over the world, that who is famous for, and who has, due to whose association Mahabali and Prahlada, they also became famous, and Krishna, knowing all that devotees along with them, we have to meditate upon along with them. With the associates, Krishna associates, Mahabali, Prahlada, and many others. Sthitam prajandamasinam shayanam va guhashayam prakshaniyehidam jayel shuddhabhavena chedasam. So, and while meditating, any position, either standing form, or in other words, walking, or in sitting, or lying down, in any form, it is possible to meditate on the form of Vishnu. All these things, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi. This is particularly about this chapter in the 28th chapter, in the third canto. Because after explaining about Bhakti Yogam, Kapila Vasudeva also said the same thing, like Krishna is saying to Uddhava. this third canto and canto 11 has this connection. That you will, if you look at the process, you will see, in third canto also, the importance of Bhakti Yogam, Krishna has spoken. Kapila Vasudeva has spoken. And then Kapila Vasudeva talked about the, to Devahuti Devi, about the meditation. Krishna also, in the 14th chapter of Ekadasha Skandam, first talks about Bhakti Yogam, and then talks about Dhyana Yogam later. Exactly like Kapila Vasudeva has done. So Kapila Vasudeva, when he spoke to Devahuti Devi, the process was the same. First spoke about Bhakti Yogam, and eventually it culminates in Dhyanam. Krishna also says, through Salsangam one should develop Bhakti, and through Bhakti eventually should culminate in Dhyanam, in meditation. That's what we have seen that, isn't it? If you remember all these things, I don't know whether you remember or not, but that's all I can say, that's what it is. So, in the 14th chapter, if you read Bhagavatam, if you have time to read Bhagavatam, and if you read Bhagavatam, you will see there in the 14th chapter, first Krishna talks about Salsangam. And from Salsangam, Krishna, Salsanga Yenaya Bhaktiya, he says there, isn't it? So from Salsangam, Bhakti comes. And that Bhakti turns into what is known as Dhyanam. Exactly like in the case of Gopis, isn't it? Gopis were also engaged, they were not engaged, due to Salsangam, they reached that state, and eventually they became so Krishna conscious, that means the Dhyanam state, meditation, all the time absorbed in Krishna. Yadohane avahanane madhanobaleva prengkhenkhanabhi aridhidokshanam arjidena gayandi chainam anurakta diyaha ashrukandhya. In the Bhagavatam you can dhanya vrajastriya urukrava chitayana. They are dhanya. Why dhanya? Because of dhyanam they have become dhanya. Due to constant meditation on Krishna, it was not a forced meditation. Due to the bhakti that has developed in the heart, gopis have become so absorbed in Krishna, dhanya. They have become very fortunate. Dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chitayana. Their chittam was completely absorbed in urukrama, in Krishna. So, gopis process was the best process, easiest process. They came to Krishna with a different relationship. It all ended up in meditation. Whereas yogis, they have to go through all these process of meditation and they may not get there at the end. That is what is called Krishna's mercy, Krupa. So, here, in the Tritiya Skandam, in the third canto, after discussing this, after talking about the whole form of Krishna, in order to increase that meditation further, part by part is explained later. How in order to make that concentration more fixed on that form, in 13 verses, Kapila Vasudeva talks to Devahuti Devi about different bodily parts of Krishna. Different parts are to be meditated upon individually. Different parts are to be meditated upon. Sanchindayel Bhagavadas Charanaravindam Vajrangusham Dhaja Saroruhal Anjanadhyam Uttungarektavilasal Nakachakravalam Jorsnabirahatamahat Hadayandhakaram. Then, Sanjindayed Bhagavadas Charanaravindam. First, Kapila Vasudeva talks about Krishna's lotus feet. What is the glory of that Krishna's lotus feet? It is from the lotus feet Ganga River has taken birth. It is from that lotus feet Ganga River has taken birth. And, Vajrangushadvaja Saroruhalanjanaandhyam. That different marks on Krishna's lotus feet. Different marks on Krishna's lotus feet, and all the different marks which are very important as far as Krishna is concerned, and those devotees who have taken shelter of that lotus feet. All these things are connected with that lotus feet of Krishna. So when we talk about Krishna's lotus feet, we just cannot only talk about lotus feet. All those who have taken Krishna's lotus feet as the shelter, the marks on the lotus feet, and from that lotus feet, what all has happened? In the next verse, it says, Yashauja Nistrada Sarid Pravaroda Gena Tirthena Mood Adigradena Shiva Shivabhul Dhyadurmana Shamala Shaila Nisrishtavajram Dhyayel Shiram Bhagavadas Charanaravindam. Krishna's lotus feet is such that Ganga River came from there, and Lord Shiva because he accepted the Ganga river on his head, he became Shiva. Shiva Shivobhul, it says. Shiva Mahadeva became Shiva ever since he accepted Ganga river on his head with his jada, isn't it, with the matted hair. He accepted that Ganga river on that. And because he received that is, Ganga river is the water that has washed Krishna's lotus feet. That's coming from there. And therefore, one should meditate on the lotus feet, which is capable of wiping out all the bad vasanas inside a person. And one should meditate on that form. In this way, you will see in 13 verses, independent parts of Krishna's body, how one should meditate upon, is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto. After discussing all that, this meditation was over. Eventually, it comes up to the last verse, where one should see Krishna's smile. Hasam hare avanadhagila loga divra shoga shrusagara vishoshana atyudaram samohanaya rujidam nijamayayasya brumandalam munigrade magaradvajasyam. Then he says that aghila loga divra shoga ashrusagara vishoshanam atyudaram. As soon as you see Krishna smile, all the miseries of this world goes away. Loga tivra shogam, all the extreme miseries what one experiences, ashru sagara vishoshanam atyudaram, that all gets wiped out just by seeing Krishna smile. Sometimes we take it for granted, these things, isn't it? We say we go and saw the deity, my distress hasn't gone. It's still the same. We say like that, isn't it? So why is that? What is the reason? Actually, because our bhakti is not proper. That is why it is. To give you an example, in the bhakti process, often our understanding is that, what is bhakti? That is the first question, isn't it? So therefore, bhakti, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in the most authoritative version of bhakti, Narada Bhakti Sutram, they talk about bhakti in a different way. This can only happen to a person that when he has come to that Brahmabodham state first. Brahmabodha realization has to happen to him. Because otherwise what will happen is, I'll explain that, you will get it then. The point what it is. We say that we see Krishna in the deity. And we don't see Krishna in any other living entity. We make that statement, I am seeing Krishna in the deity, but I don't see Krishna anywhere else. The question is, if you are not seeing Krishna in other living entity, what chance is there to see Krishna in just a stone? Krishna's presence is much more in a moving person. There you have a clear proof that the absolute truth is present inside that person, in the form of the soul is present there. You are not seeing that soul in that person. You are not able to see. So when he says to you, I am seeing Krishna in the deity, how much can you believe? That's the important question, isn't it? If I say to somebody, oh, I saw Krishna in the temple, oh, so beautiful it looks. How much I have seen Krishna there? I can say all the decorations I have seen, but have I seen Krishna there? That is the question, isn't it? If I see Krishna externally in so many living entities, where Krishna is present there, and they are moving in this world, Krishna is present there, the soul is present there, and they are moving in this world, I am not seeing Krishna there. How can anyone believe that I am seeing Krishna in the deity in the temple? In fact, in reality, Krishna should have been much more visible to us, more realistic to see in another living entity, Krishna's presence. When we don't see that, and we say that in the temple I am seeing Krishna, how much have I seen Krishna? So that is why exactly this Brahmabhutam state is that Brahmabhuta prasannatma na shojati na kankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. When Krishna is saying labhate param, that para bhakti, what Krishna refers to in the Bhagavad Gita, is a state after this realization of the self. First we have to realize ourselves, what we are. Then we have to see, once that happened, then we realize the same soul present in everyone. And then happens, and then after that we start seeing Krishna properly in everywhere else. That comes much later. Much later. So that is why when Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is talking about bhakti, you have to go through this route. Rather than thinking that, oh, I'm seeing Krishna everywhere, every day I'm doing deity worship, every day I'm doing this. But after 40 years, I'm still seeing the stone only. Nothing more than that. It will be like that. It is not going to change. Because the understanding is like that. That I'm seeing Krishna everywhere, I'm with the deity all the time, I've escaped from this world. It's not going to work. That is why when devotees are classified, also you can see that the first class devotee is that person who is seeing Krishna's presence in everyone, isn't it? If you look into the Naimi Navayogi Samvadam, and the same thing in the third canto also, Kapila Vasudev says the same thing to Devahuti Devi also, isn't it? You will see there that the importance of when it refers to bhakti, Kapila Vasudev talks about one way and Krishna also talks about in the same way. But it is not that how we perceive bhakti in this world. We see bhakti in a completely different way. We started thinking that bhakti is a completely independent process, away from everybody else. But when it comes to self-realization, bhakti is the state after self-realization, after realizing the self. So that is why it is said. So here, after talking about all this meditation, everything, he comes to the point that to see that smile of Krishna. That is why when Krishna is smiling, we are not feeling anything. Because we are not seeing Krishna there yet. Ha samhare avanadhagila loga divra shoga shrusagaram atyudo vishoshanam atyudaram samohanaya rajidam nijamaya yasya brumandalam munigrade magaradvajasyam. That Krishna's smile is famous. It's famous, very famous smile. So when Krishna smiles, we are not experiencing anything, and the reason for that is that we haven't seen Krishna yet. We haven't seen Krishna yet. And then eventually, after saying that, he says here that in two verses, what happens? Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi, after all this meditation, what happens to that person? Evam haro bhagavadi pradilabdha bhavo bhaktya dravadraya ulpulaga pramodal Aulkandya Bhashpakalaya Muhuradhyamanam Stacha Vichitta Bhadisham Shanageru Viyungtem. That one who has reached that stage because of the bhakti or devotion in the heart, naturally he comes to that stage continuously, his dhyanam or meditation becomes very easy for him. He doesn't have to struggle for any meditation after that. So then his state is samadhi, he is in the samadhi state. And later what happened? In that samadhi state, mukta ashrayam yarhi nirvishayam viraktam nirvana murchati manasahasa yatharchi atmana matra purusho avyavadhanam ekam anvikshate pratinivrta guna pravaha. Mukta ashrayam yarhi nirvishayam viraktam. When he comes to that state, mukta ashrayam, Krishna says that the state is such that the form, what he has meditated upon, goes away from inside. The form goes away. And all other sankalpam, what you have forced inside, this form also, meditation, you have spent time to meditate on a particular form, isn't it? That's what you have created, that form inside. And when that goes away, when the form also disappears, the soul in its beauty manifests there. Not in a form, the experience. The experience of the soul comes at that point. So, at that time one can understand that what we are talking about, the spiritual, so the strength of the soul. So it is in that state one has to have that state of dhyanam or meditation inside in order to experience that. So in the mind many thoughts will come up, but whatever thoughts comes up at that point, you will not be concerned about the thoughts, rather you will be concerned about for whom is the thoughts are happening, who is having the thoughts. That's more important, isn't it? Thoughts will come, all kinds of thoughts will come. But if one is able to divert that attention from the thoughts to the person who is experiencing the thoughts, then you will see that ahankaram goes away, false ego goes away from him. So, that is what Krishna says here, padadam yunjidam. So, yoga means to join together. Yoga means to join together. Samadhane chittavritti nirodhe. Chittavritti nirodham is yogam. Patanjali's definition of yogam is chittavritti nirodham. Stopping chittavritti is nirodham. Is nirodham. Chittavritti nirodham, yogaha, chittavritti nirodha. If chittavritti stops, that is yoga state. That is yoga state. This is Patanjali's definition. Now, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look into 10th canto of Krishna's, the important canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, is considered to be nirodham, mano nirodham, isn't it? Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manandaram ishanukatha. 9th canto is ishanukatha and 10th canto is nirodham. So, nirodham of what? Nirodham of this chittavritti, mind, wandering around, wavering around. This is control of the mind. So, the question will come, chittavritti nirodham. So, once we are alert, we have come to that state of alertness, automatically all the thoughts will go away, and wherever these thoughts are occurring, it will go and dissolve itself there. And Krishna says here that when the when the thoughts goes away and dissolves without occurring anymore, and one is alert in that state, if you experience that, the yoga samskaram will develop. The samskaram of the yogam, what Krishna has spoken about, will develop. Is it possible to do all these things? People will ask this question, isn't it? So, Krishna's answer to that is that in order that to happen, one has to practice it. One has to practice it. So, there is no other way, just like you can't give it to you like a sugar-coated allopathy tablet. It's not possible to give dhyanam to anybody like that. So, it is important that we have to develop this samskaram inside. Little by little, this has to cultivate inside. Everybody says chanting is very easy. Chanting is very easy. You know how easy it is, isn't it? Chanting. We say chanting is very easy. Very easy. Very easy to say chanting is very easy. But even such a thing, you can experience yourself that japam also doesn't happen easily. Isn't it? Japam also doesn't happen easily. So, after chanting many, many years continuously, when the chanting becomes a state in which one is able to chant without being conscious of it, that is not even conscious, chanting goes on without being conscious of it. It is at that stage you can see that it is also a austerity, big austerity to come to that stage. It requires many, many years of practice to chant and to come to that state where one chants without any without any difficulty, in other words. It doesn't have to sit down to chant. Chanting happens automatically. So, even on chanting, japam, it requires practice, isn't it? Abhyasam is necessary. So, so in the same way, satatam atmanam rahasi, by chanting, by meditation, all that, dhyanam is necessary. So, even while meditation or chanting, also this process of dhyanam must develop in a person in due course of time. So, if it has to happen like this, if this all has to happen in a lifestyle, our present lifestyle is not very favorable for that, isn't it? In order to do that, you have to wake up in the morning, early hours in the morning. And you have to be devoted to spiritual life. Otherwise, these things will not happen. So, whereas if you have to work hard whole day, and then you have to engage in meditation, that is all not going to happen. So, dhyanam, Krishna says here, that has to be practiced in that way. So, keeping the desires away, and if the desires are many inside, then while in meditation, mind will go in that direction. So Krishna says, nirashi abarigraha. And therefore, Krishna says, in what situations one should sit down and perform meditation. That is the next two verses. Shuchau deshe pradishtapyam stiram asanam atmanam na tuchritam nati nicham chailanjina kushottaram tatraikagram manakratvam yadachitendriya kriyam Bhavishyasane yunjyan Yogam Atma Vishuddhaye Shujau Deshe Pradishtapyam Stiram Asanam Atmanam Natuchritam Nati Nijam Chailajina Kushottaram Tatraikagram Manakratvam Yada Chittendriya Kriyam Ubhavishyasane Yunjyan Yogam Atma Vishuddhaye. Now, Krishna says here, after talking about in the last verse, Ekaki Yada Chittatma Nirashir Aparigraha. You remember the last two words? Ekaki. Krishna says alone. Spiritual life normally has to be practiced alone, not with thousands of people together. Because if all these things has to happen, Krishna's point is ekagi. In so many places Krishna will say this. So, participating in an event is one thing. For example, Ratha Yatra, Harinam. They are for the propagation of Krishna consciousness, and also participating is good to get inspiration, to engage in spiritual life. But when it comes to one's own sadhana, one has to egagi. Egagi yada chittalpa nirashir aparigraha. Krishna saying, egagi means he should live alone in a secluded place and should always carefully control his mind. Because why? In the association of others, the mind will move very easily. Mind chalanam will happen. That's a known thing. If you are in the association of many people, naturally the tendency will be to think about whoever is next by what he is saying, what he is thinking about, what does he think about me, what does I think about him. All these thoughts will come. It's natural. So that's why it said egagi. The purpose of that is this. That association with other people brings this problem. Egagi. Egagi yada chittalma nirashir aparigraha. Nirashi means no expectations from this world, anything. So these are requirements before reaching the state of dhyanam. So because in our japam also, in the chanting the holy name also, because this background is not there often, that's why it goes for a very, very long period of time, many lifetimes sometimes. So, nirashir, egashir yata chittatma, nirashir aparigraha. Krishna says here, isn't it? In the last verse in 10. And then after that, Krishna says in these two verses, to practice yoga, one should go to a secluded place and should lay kusha grass on the ground and then cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth. The seat should neither be too high nor too low and should be situated in a sacred place. The yogi should then sit on it very firmly and should practice yoga by controlling the mind and the senses, purifying the heart and fixing the mind on one point. Fixing the mind on one point. So, here, in these two verses, Krishna talks about Shujau Deshe, begin with. Shujau Deshe. It's interesting actually. If you understand these verses, a lot of misconceptions has to go from our head. Shujau Deshe means, what is Shujau Deshe? The meaning is given pure place, isn't it? A sanctified place. So it is important that meditation is performed in a pure place. In other words, pure place means temples, famous temples. Famous temples, river banks, forests, and underneath the tree, in the association nearby tulsi plant or willow tree, and gardens and places like that. All these places are Shujau Deshe. A 5-star hotel is also Shujau Deshe. It's very clean inside there, isn't it? 5-star hotel is much cleaner than a house even. But would you call it as Shujau Deshe? You can't call it a Shujau Deshe, can you? Although they will have used all the available things in the world to clean the place up. But why? Because the activities that goes on is in the atmosphere. So therefore it's not Shujau Deshe. It's the most contaminated place. So in the same way, Shujau Deshe is places where great personalities have performed their spiritual activity. That place is Shujau Deshe. Any place in this world is pure if Mahatmas have performed their spiritual activities there. That place becomes naturally Shujau Deshe. This temple is Shujau Deshe not because of our deity worship, because Srila Prabhupada sat here and chanted Hare Krishna. That is why this temple is auspicious, place to chant the holy name. Our deity worship, when we don't even see Krishna in the deity, what deity worship have, what have we reached that state? We may see, oh, it is Gokulananda's place. Yes, it is, whole world is Gokulananda's place. What else is, can you take away from him? But Mahatmas, every temple, if you look all over the world, famous temples, particularly the ancient temples, if you look, you will see behind the temple, there was some great personality who performed penances there. Executed their austerities and penances, and due to their spiritual activities, that place has become pure. That is what Shujau Deshe means. Every temple, any temple you can take, you will see that that temple will have some great acharya or great devotee or a great jnani must have lived there even prior the deity was installed there. So it is due to their presence, because they have executed spiritual life in that place, that place has become a Shujau Deshe. So Krishna is saying here, Shujau Deshe, Shujau Deshe Pradishtayam, Pradishtapyam, Stiram Asanam Almana. In such a place, Krishna says that this will work. For example, at home also, if you have to stay at home, in that case, there has to have a separate place for meditation, just like you have a place for eating, and for sleeping, and for reception. Similarly, you have to have a room separately for meditation, if you are engaging in meditation activities. But that room should not be used for any other purpose, except for that, for meditation purposes. And it has to be kept pure. So it is not in the sense that this Shujau Deshe, not in the sense the place is very clean, that it is spoken. The place is spoken in respect to the great persons who have performed their penances. That is why all the holy places, the temples, the rivers like Godavari, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri, all these famous rivers, they have all become famous because it is on these river banks the great devotees have stayed and they have bathed in those rivers, so they became holy. Tirthi kurvandi tirthani. Isn't it? In the Bhagavadam, it says, Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani. So they became Tirtham because the great Mahatmas have bathed in those places. So, and Krishna says here that sometimes sometimes you can see that Shujau Deshe Pratishtapya Sthiram Asanam Atmana, Krishna says, that in a such a place one can perform meditation. So some places you can see in some houses once you walk in, even if you had some peace of mind, that will go once you get inside there, because of the activities that goes on in that house. You immediately lose all kinds of, you want to get out from there as quickly as possible. That also happens. So Krishna says that wherever there is no devotees, in any house there are no devotees, those houses are similar to the holes where the snakes go and take shelter. So that house will always be in that way to be seen. So therefore one has to turn the homes to a temple. That's the point Krishna is making for engaging in meditation, which means the food habits has to be very clean and pure, and the whole house should be utilized for Krishna consciousness. Whole house has to be utilized for Krishna consciousness, and all impurity should be kept away. This impure thing, we may think that it is on a bodily level. Bodily level impurities is not an impurity. It's not considered to be impurity. It's a misunderstanding many people have. Bodily level, some people take note of the bodily impurity very much, isn't it? Very much the bodily impurity. And up to a certain point, yes, it is an impurity. But the main impurity is inside the mind, with the mouth and the mind. That's where all the impurity is, inside the mind as well as the mouth. Therefore, that is why salsangam, namasankirtanam, chanting the holy name, meditation, and studying Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita should be performed at home in all circumstances. It is not that it should be only performed in the temple. It has to be performed at home. Bhakti process is like that. Particularly Bhagavata Dharmam is converting the whole house into Krishna consciousness. It is not that you have to go to forest to do this. That is the beauty of bhakti. At the same time, it is a constant vigilance, complete alertness all the time in our own life, that how to change the life pattern at home to change into Krishna consciousness. So Krishna says here, if we do that, naturally, once that shanti or peace comes in home, then in that case, just like from a flower, the flavor spreads all around, in the same way, that peace will spread all over. Little by little, that it will come to others also, and the place gets purified. All the holy places, holy temples everywhere, that this shanti exists, especially due to the presence of the jnanis. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura says to Yudhishthira this statement, Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani Swandasthena Gadabratha. He says there, isn't it? Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani Swandasthena Gadabratha. That Swandasthena Gadabratha. That due to the presence of those who are absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, due to their presence, that the places become pure. Places become pure. That is why Tirthi Kurvandi Tirthani, they purify the, they make it a Tirtham. Swandasthena Gadabhrada, that they have absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. Due to that, the places become pure. So, every famous temple, if you go back and inquire into the history of the temple, you will notice that some great personality has performed the penances in that place first. In that place first. Any temple, any famous ancient temples, if you go back and look, you will see that some great personality was there, all performed his penances there. So, normally, that is why place becomes pure, Shujau Deshe, and also becomes a Tirtham, is favorable for executing spiritual activities. And so, but while constructing temples also, we have to bear this in mind. It's not that how much gold and cash you have poured into the temple. How much sadhana was performed there by the Mahatmas, that is what makes it a temple. That's what makes it a temple. This is the principle behind it. That you may think that, oh, that temple is fantastic. They spent so much money to build the temple. But is the presence there? Sannidhyam is there. That is the question. So the Sannidhyam is that where great personalities, they have spent their spiritual activities, performed spiritual activities in that place. So this you can see that all places where, those places where the jnanis and the great devotees have performed their penances. And when you visit such places and come back, you will experience that Sannidhyam or that presence you will bring home with you. That is what happens, isn't it? When you go to famous temples or famous places, spiritually charged or spiritually vibrant places, Hrishikesh, Haridwar or Vrindavanam, Mathura, all these places, why do we go there? We just don't go there to see the sightseeing there, isn't it? Because that places had that so much spiritual strength behind them. If we get that from there, then our yatra or our journey was a success. But if we go there and see what prasadam was given there or what the facilities there to stay and come back making a judgment about it, then it was, you may as well go to another city in UK or go and find out that. But that's not the goal. That's why Krishna says here that tirthi kurvandi tirthani swandasthena gadaprata. That tirtham, they have become that holy places. Why? Yes, you know that Krishna's appearance made Vrindavanam famous. Now I'm famous because of Krishna's appearance. Not only due to that, with Krishna, all the great devotees who were present there, many, many great personalities, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, Uddhava, Gopis, Ambarish Maharaj in Madhuvanam, and so many other in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, they were all in Vrindavanam, part of the Vrindavanam consciousness. So it is only due to their presence that Vrindavanam has come to this state. That atmosphere is vibrant with Krishna consciousness, isn't it? Because of the presence of the gopis. Aho bhagyam, nanda gopa prajaugasam, yan mitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatanam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see Lord Brahma saying this. Aho bhagyam, what a great fortune of these persons. They have come and took birth in Vrindavanam. Vande nanda vraja sthrinam, that paying their respects to the gopis of Vrindavanam. Padarenum abhishnasha, the dust in Vrindavanam is actually the place where gopis have walked. And yasam harigador gidam, what was the beauty of Vrindavanam? There was nothing else discussed except harigatha, about Krishna. That was the only topic of discussion in Vrindavanam. Punadi bhuvanatrayam, and that has purified the whole world due to their presence in Vrindavanam. So it is these things that matters, not the facilities what is available there or what other activities are going on there. Only the important thing or important consideration, all these things, which great devotee has lived there, any holy place. That's what one has to look up to. Which is the great devotee who have? Even temples are identified like that. If you go to many famous temples in Tamil Nadu, they will always tell you which great devotees have worshipped there. Not due to the presence of the temple, may be big or small, it doesn't matter. But which devotee has come, whether they are Alvars or Nayanars, doesn't matter. Who has come and who has performed the worship or who performed their penances in that place. That makes that temple glorious. Temple glorious. So this is the important thing to understand, that any temple, any holy place or any places, tirtham, is become tirtham due to the presence of the Mahatmas who are present there. That is what makes it that place auspicious. That place auspicious. In such places, Krishna says, dhyanam will happen easily. Easier than other places. Why? The place itself gives that vibration strongly inside. Vibrations strongly inside. So, and in some places, on the other hand, you find there is no peace at all. Complete ashanti when you walk in. Or some houses when you walk in, it is just like a cemetery. That also you can experience there. Because there is so much ragam, so much dvesham in the dealings among the people inside the house. And therefore, no mantra can help at that time. And proper bhakti or aradhana means deity worship or anything what happens is, the symptom of that is salsangam is going on all the time. Salsangam is going on all the time. That is the nature. So in such a place, Krishna says it is easy to engage in meditation. After reaching that state of meditation, that is another next thing what Krishna is saying here, that tatraivagram manakritva yatha chitendriya kriya ubhavishyasane yunjyad yogam atma vishuddhaye. No, after observing in that state, purifying the heart and fixing the mind on one point, when one has reached that state of meditation, then even if one goes to a place like a railway station or a bus stand or a hotel, still he will not lose that dhyanam because he has already reached that state of dhyanam. So that is another thing. In the early days, while engaging in dhyanam, in meditation, one has to avoid this infection from the world outside. But after reaching that state of dhyanam, Krishna says there that one can go anywhere else, but dhyanam will not leave him. It is for this reason only in the past, sannyasis won't live with the householders. Sannyasis won't live with the householders. When I say these things, it may look new to you, isn't it? Because it's not the tradition anymore. Sannyasis find the best householder to live with. Who has got the best facility, that's the best place for the sannyasi. He feels happiness there. But this is the world. In the past, sannyasis won't live in the householder's ashram. Householder's house. Because householder, by name itself, is holding the house. And he is always in trouble. So many things will go on in the householder's activity, isn't it? Always all kinds of worldly transactions. And that is not a place for dhyanam. In the past, the system was, even if there is no facility to, if he does not want to stay at a householder, householders will build a separate cottage for the sannyasi to stay. If they won't stay, because householders know the problem, that if sannyasis are there, they can't conduct their business. So they will prefer also the sannyasi to stay somewhere else. Sannyasis generally stayed at the temples or at the ashrams or a separate place provided for them. Sannyasis never stayed because of this reason. In the past, they were very particular about this. Sannyasis will not stay in the house with the householders. But in the recent times, even the authorities in the mutts, they will not walk into the householders' places. If they have to, they'll stay in a cottage outside. Why? Because so many impure transactions and so many impure thoughts will be present in that house, in every house. This will be present. So that is why Krishna says Shujau Deshe. The place has to be pure. Place has to be pure. So in such a place, Stiram Asanam Asinam, Krishna says in the next verse, there one can build his asanam or his seat. And one should not, Krishna says, should not go stay in a very higher place, say some 12 feet or 10 feet or something like that. Go and sit there. I'm having my meditation. Because if you sit there and start meditation, and if you are not reached that state of meditation in the sleep, you will fall from there, from the 12 feet. That is the reason why it said, don't go too high sitting there, because you don't know what will happen at the end, isn't it? Whether it will end up in meditation or it will end up in something else. So that's another reason. Then Krishna says also there that you don't go and sit inside a pit, saying that, because you will get suffocated, not getting enough air to breathe. So therefore don't go too low, he says. That's why that verse he says there. Nati uchridam nati nicham. See that? Not too high, not too low. Go down anywhere. Chaila anjana kushottaram. Chaila anjana kushottaram means that you should use darbha grass or deer skin, and on top of that you can cover it with a cloth and sit on that. Chailanjana kushottaram. Then, now Krishna is going to talk about yoga sadhana, isn't it? Yoga sadhana. So, these are from the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. All these part what Krishna has taken is from the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. Just like, as I mentioned before, Sankhyam is from Kavila Maharshi's Sankhyam. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. Vedavyasa Maharshi's Upanishads. All this is in the Bhagavad Gita. From different parts, Krishna has taken what is necessary for Bhagavad Gita's explanations. Only those things what is important. So, so the question is that while taking birth in this world, if there is these vibrations inside a person, sattvikam, sattvikam in the mood of goodness, if it is there, yogis are saying, just like electricity will flow through you into the earth, into the earth. In other words, when we have that vibrations, the sattvika vibrations, or in the mood of goodness, that will be that the sharanagati or surrender nature in a person, surrender to Krishna, that surrender will bring excellent vibrations inside in a person. Ragadvesham will go away and it will create a very favorable mood inside a person for dhyanam. Sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrender to Krishna. So that surrender not only develops into bhakti, and otherwise it will turn into Atmavicharam. Atmavicharam means absorbed in the thoughts of the soul. So for neither of them, for bhakti process or for reflection on the soul, this seating arrangement is not important. How we sit is not important. These verses here is referring to Dhyana Yogam from the Ashtangam, from the Ashtanga Yogam from the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. That's why it's given importance here. But in the general sense, one who has surrendered to Krishna and taken Sharanagati very seriously and following the process of bhakti, for him, seating is not important. Similarly, one who is absorbed in the thoughts of the soul or analysis of the soul or self-realization, for him also, seating is not important. So, one can engage in this meditation for a devotee, either walking or while sitting in one place. So, so Krishna says here, yoga sadhana, Krishna is talking about. So, chailanjana kushottaram. And he also says there that in the tatraigagram manakrutva yata chitendriya kriya. Ubhavishyandre yunjyat yogam alma vishuddhaye. The purpose of all this is alma vishuddhi. Alma vishuddhi means the purification must happen inside. So in the past, many houses and many sannyasis also, when they chanted, there was always fire. They, in the presence of the fire, they chanted. Because fire has the capacity to absorb a lot of impure things. That's why in the Brahmanas also, in their houses, they had fire growing all the time. Similarly, in the temples also, fire is used. Fire. Fire burning, or the lamps out of the lamps burning, for this reason only. And they would not allow the electricity to come in because of this reason, that the presence of the fire is more purifying than the electricity. So this is for that reason. That if you look in the Shivapuranam, you will see before Lord Shiva married Sri Parvati, there was Lord Shiva lights a lamp and sitting in front of the lamp, Shiva performs the meditation. So, Shamit Saminde Tatra Magnima Adhaya Shamit Samate Someva Murtyandaram Kenabhigabhena Tapaschacharaham. So, that Shiva performs that meditation while sitting in front of the fire. So, in this Dhyana Yogam chapter, Krishna is saying here, through the power of Dhyanam or through the power of meditation, we can experience Krishna inside. Sagunam, that is the Krishna with attributes. So, Krishna gives that. many Mahatmas, great personalities have, through this dhyanam process, they have reached that stage. Dhyanam means, what does dhyanam mean? Dhyanam means, with love, one is able, or with priyam inside, one has that devotion inside and remembrance Krishna in that way. With love, loving relationship with Krishna. Even if he's not doing anything, the continuous flow, remembrance of Krishna inside in a loving mood. That is dhyanam. And it is that dhyanam which has come in a natural way, not artificially imposed upon somebody, but it has happened to him in a natural way. Like these different mellows we talk about, shandam, dasyam, sakhyam, vatsalyam, madhuryam, the five mellows relationship, is also a dhyanam, isn't it? It's also a dhyanam. All the Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, in their meditations, vatsalya relationship with Krishna, all the time thinking about Krishna. Krishna is their child. And Vasudeva and Devaki also had a similar relationship with Krishna. So, gopis had a different relationship, but again dhyanam. Even while Krishna was not present there, gopis' relationship with Krishna was in dhyanam, in that meditation of Krishna, always remembering Krishna in that way. That gopis has loved Krishna in that way. So, there you can see there that Krishna appears depending on the power of that dhyanam. A devotee's dhyana balam, it's called dhyana balam, the strength of dhyanam inside a person. That is what determines that thing. So initially one can see Krishna's form inside. One sees Krishna's form inside. Then Krishna says here that it will appear as though he has appeared outside. The same form, what he has seen inside, appears outside. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see Dhruva Maharaj went into meditation, isn't it? In the fourth canto, you will see Dhruva Maharaj's famous meditation. 6 months he performed meditation, isn't it? Day by day, it was getting very austere and very intense. So in that meditation process, eyes were closed. Krishna appeared inside first. Krishna appeared inside first. And then suddenly the form disappeared inside. Remember that? If you read Bhagavatam carefully, you will notice this. The form which Dhruva Maharaj was meditating appeared inside first. After a while, suddenly the form disappeared. And when the form disappeared, Dhruva Maharaj opened his eyes and he saw Krishna standing outside. That is how that process happened to him. So, if you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see, Bahisthidam Dadarsha. He says he saw Krishna, Dadarsha Bahisthidam. Outside he saw him standing there. Initially Krishna appeared inside, later on the form disappeared and was standing outside. All Mahatmas' meditation ends up like this. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read in the last verse, Muktiarchidam, Mukti, after that state, when one experiences that relationship with Krishna, he says there, Muktashrayam, that at a stage comes, Muktashrayam, the verse in the 28th chapter, Muktashrayam, it develops into this state that the form what he has been meditating leaves him inside and he sees the form outside. And eventually that form also disappears. That form also disappears. Behisthidam Dadarsham. He saw him standing outside. So the same form, so this is interesting. Whatever form you have meditated inside, Krishna will appear in that form inside. Krishna will appear in that form inside. Initially the meditation is happening as per the process what is recommended in the Bhagavatam. But that will develop into actual form manifesting inside. And when the form manifests, the devotee experiences that bliss or from self-realization. At that time the form disappears. And then the form comes out and stand outside. So, so this is why it's said, so when he saw that, what is the reason for that? It says, Narada Maharshi gave Vasudeva mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He gave that to Dhruva Maharaj, isn't it? So, and explained to him, to Dhruva Maharaj, in which way he should meditate upon Krishna. The form also he explained to him, how he should meditate. And he gave a description of that form to Dhruva Maharaj. So, for everybody, the form could be different. Different forms. Depending on what form he has instructed, Narada Maharshi has instructed. To form what Narada Maharshi has instructed to Dhruva Maharaj was different for the form Narada Maharshi has instructed to somebody else. So the form can be different. Form can be different. They'll all be different. So Kapila Vasudev talks about a form in the Bhagavatam which is different again from the form what Narada Maharshi has spoken. So Narada Maharshi has spoken about one form, Kapila Vasudev spoke about a different form. According to their bhavana or according to their own relationship with Krishna, they will describe the form to the devotee. That is the system. When Narada Maharshi sees Krishna in one form, Kapila Vasudev says Krishna in another form. According to their realization, they will explain the form of Krishna to the devotee on which to perform the meditation. So that is the interesting thing. So this is why it is so important that to hear from a spiritual master who is able, who has realized this, who also has seen the form and able to receive that instruction from a person like that. So if it is done like that, Krishna will appear. That is what Krishna is saying. Yeyadhamam prabadhyanti tamstadeva bhajamyaham. Mama varpmanu vartandi manushya partha sarvasha. Krishna says, whichever form one we approaches Krishna according to the instruction from the spiritual master, whatever form one has come to, that Krishna says here, according to that form, I will appear in front of them. So, according to their bhavam. If you look into the great devotees of Maharashtra, Namadev, Tukaram and all that, they all have a particular form they were attached to. Panduranga form. Vithala Vithala Panduranga. So that form was famous. That was the form of Krishna they were all attracted to. Because that was the deity they have worshipped. And they have got inspiration from there. Sometimes that same form is worshipped by some devotee as Vishnu and some of the devotees as Shiva as well. Panduranga form. Some places, some devotees accept that as form of Vishnu and somebody else as Shiva as well. So in many forms, the same deity is sometimes worshipped. So this state of the deity, that which form the deity is to be seen by the devotee, that form will the deity will appear in front of that devotee. That cannot be said. That that is why when the famous Pandurangashtakam, there is 8 verses glorifying Pandurangam. So Pandurangashtakam says Parabrahma Lingam Bhajay Pandurangam. That is, the 8 verses ends up like Jagannath Ashtakam and Govinda Ashtakam. There are these famous 8 verses on Panduranga. So Panduranga also, there's 8 verses glorifying Panduranga or the deity. And each verse ends up with this deism, Parabrahma Lingam Bhajay Pandurangam. That Brahman, the absolute truth is present and I worship that form of Panduranga there. So according to their capacity, according to their liking, they can meditate on that form. So, otherwise what will happen is that if you explain that only meditation is possible in conchal, disc, lotus flower and club, if that form, only the Vaishnavas will worship that form. Shaivas will say, we will not worship that form. Similarly, if you give the Lord Shiva's form, like with the matted hair, the moon on the head, with the trident, the Vaishnavas won't worship that form. So like this, whether Vaishnavam, Shaivam, whatever it is, the form that is worshipped, that manifests in front of the person. So at one time, when the bhakti movement was very strong, at that time in Maharashtra, there was a great surge of devotees, very famous devotees who appeared at that time. And it started with Jnaneshwar. Jnaneshwar was the beginning. And it is Jnaneshwar that started his famous commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Gita Bhashyam he wrote, Jnaneshwari. And he written many other books as well. And so, as I mentioned before, it is due to their worship that Panduranga has become famous. Panduranga became famous because of their presence, because of these great devotees. They made the temple famous because of their presence. So all these great devotees, they have seen the deity and they have worshipped the deity with that devotion, that they all experienced them. all these devotees have greatly experienced. And you can see there that this experience of those devotees, that comes out in their own creations, of their writings, in their writings. They will explain that, what they saw in the deity, what they, how they experienced that deity, they will explain that in their own writings later. So, many places you will see that this relationship with the devotee and Krishna is important. Without all these things, the temple has no standing, isn't it? Temple has become famous. Why? Because of these great devotees who served and worshipped Krishna there. That's what made that temple famous. So, because of their experiences of Krishna's presence there in that temple, naturally their sannidhyam or the presence is experienced by for those who come there later. They experience that due to the devotion of these great devotees who are present in that places. So all the stories that is all related to all these great devotees is all centered around Panduranga. It's all centered around Pandurangam. And Namadev has written about his realization, and all these devotees, they all came from different backgrounds. They were all from different backgrounds. One person was a tailor, another person was engaged in a shop business, he had business, and therefore it is considered that this is the process for this age of Kali, Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means that you, if you notice this, all these great personalities in the tradition in Maharashtra, none of them took sannyas. They were all householders. They were all householders. And you don't see them, any of them, taking to sannyas or going to a mat and following that route. But their devotion and their self-realization was so high, their devotion was so high, that eventually they created a whole process, or the Bhakti Bhagavata Dharma has come through them, and they were the perfect living examples of Bhagavata Dharma in this world. Bhagavata Dharma in this world. One person was a tailor, one person was a weaver who weaved the clothes, and another person was a cobbler, and one person was a jeweler, goldsmith, and so on. So, all of them, because of their devotion to this deity, they all became great devotees and eventually great realized souls as well, jnanis. So their devotion eventually took them to self-realization. In other words, their devotion developed into self-realization. When we say that that verse, that Brahmabhuta Prasanna Atma verse, Samasarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhaktim Lebhade Param, it says. So, Samasarveshu Bhudeshu, prior to that, what has to happen? Chitta Shuddhi has to happen. So, Chitta Shuddhi happened to these great devotees. Namadev, Tukaram, Ekanath, Janishwari. Janishwari was the first personality. Others came later. But they all followed his footsteps. He was the torchlight. He actually lighted the spark in them. So, he lived there only for 16 years in this world, but in that 16 years time, he created such a revolution among the population that so many great personalities became all turned into great devotees. So, how did that happen? Because that devotion was so strong in them, and that purified them, and in that process, self-realization happened, and they moved on to the higher stage of devotion, parabhakti, and it is mention. So, bhakti means loving relationship or priyam for Krishna is dhyanam. Priyam for Krishna is dhyanam. So, suppose one has priyam for somebody. In a natural way, we will think about them, isn't it? Suppose you like someone, or you have some friendly or a very close relationship with someone. In a natural way, you think about that person, isn't it? It doesn't require, somebody doesn't have to tell him. So, say for example, if the husband and wife relationship, if they are in a very proper relationship, you don't have to give a chanting beads to the wife or a lamp for the wife to light and to do meditation on the husband. isn't it? Don't do that. Natural way, the wife will think about the husband. That's natural way. Nowadays, you don't know. But this is all when it was written. Nowadays, it's a different story altogether. Like everything else, that's also changed. But in the traditional way, when dhyanam is spoken, an example is given like that. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find this all over. Mentions that. Just like a wife thinks about the husband in a very natural way, without being told anything, all in her thoughts, the husband will be there. So same way, that is dhyanam. That unable to forget about a person, it comes in a natural way. So in the same way, if our mind goes after Krishna, it says there, in the Bhagavatam you will notice this, that Krishna gets attracted by that Priyam. In the Bhagavatam, if you read the Ambarisha story, in that place you will see that that Vashi Kurvandi Mam Bhaktya Satstriya Satpadim Yatha. This example is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna himself says this to Durvasav Maharshi. Krishna says to Durvasav that with devotees it's very difficult for me to say anything to them, because what they do is Vashi Kurvandi Mam Bhaktya. They get me in such a way, in Mam Bhaktya, that Satstriya Satpadim Yada. A Satstri, a very chaste woman, how she gets her husband under her control. Satstriya Satpadim Yatha. So how a chaste woman gets a husband under her control through her loving relationship with him, in the similar way, Krishna is saying, devotees get me in the same way. Satstriya Satpadim Yatha. Ambarisha Charitam. If you read Ambarisha's story in the 9th canto, you can see Krishna mentions this there. So, similarly, devotees also, Krishna says there, Krishna comes under their control. And what happens to them when he comes under their control? What will Krishna do? That is the story of Namadev. Namadev's famous story. Namadev, at the early stage, when he was a little boy, he used to be attached to Vithal, to the Panduranga form. In that way. So, this is known story all over the world. This story is known. That daily, Namadev's father used to offer flowers, fruits and milk, everything to the deity. And one day, Namadev's father had to go away and told Namadev to offer everything to the deity. So, Namadev that day took it very seriously. In his heart, he always thought that Krishna has accepted everything. And he made everything offering to that, but the deity stood there. And Namadev started crying at that time. And at some point, Krishna started feeling that Namadev's devotion. And he stood up and ate whole everything what was offered to Krishna. At that time, Namadev smacked Krishna for eating everything. This is famous story, this is. And this story is present in many places in different forms also. So, normally, Namadev's understanding was, half of it was eaten by Krishna and half was given back. But when he ate everything, so Namadev beat Krishna for eating the whole thing. Therefore, then that day onwards, Sakya Bhakti. Namadev, that was the relationship Namadev had with Krishna. Krishna was his friend. So, and accordingly, that relationship from then onwards. So, if you approach Krishna like parental relationship, vatsalyam, Krishna will react in that way. Sandam vayasi kaishore bhritya anugraha kadaram. As far as Krishna is concerned, he wants to develop a relationship, no matter in which form it is. Sandam vayasi kaishore bhritya anugraha kadaram, Bhagavadam says. Then according to the, just want to give that mercy to the devotee, that in whichever form he wants to give it, Krishna gives that relationship, Krishna is ready for that relationship with the devotee. That. So in that way, but it's interesting there, many things what happened with Namadev later. Namadev had this relationship with Krishna, and eventually, Namadev and Krishna became very good friends. Namdev and Krishna became very good friends. Every day Krishna will go to Namdev to play with in his house. They used to play together. So Namdev became so much connected with Krishna that in everyday affair, the relationship between Namdev and Krishna happened like this. So it was at that time Krishna wanted Namdev to understand a few things more about Krishna consciousness. So, and it was the same time Jnaneshwar one day Krishna instructed Namdev to go and see Jnaneshwar. Jnaneshwar was not an ordinary person. He was the embodiment of knowledge, embodiment of devotion in every level, on a much higher level. Namdev had only this experience, pure devotion in the heart. So it was in that time, one instance, that Jnaneshwar was performing, he has his famous commentary on Jnaneshwari and discussing Jnaneshwari in a huge assembly of people. So there he was discussing about Brahmam, material nature, karmam, and all sorts of things. Chit Shakti, Jadam, all these things are talked about that. Namdev went there to listen that. Namdev had no interest in all these things, what is being spoken in there. So Namdev was only happy as long as Krishna has come and played with him. So when he was talking about all these things, Namdev could not understand anything. And Namdev was thinking in his mind, none of these people have seen Krishna before. And they are talking about all these big, big things, he said. So, and not only that, I am the only person who I have seen Krishna and played with him. And Krishna comes to visit me all the time. So Jnaneshwar had a brother called Nivrtinath. And he, when Jnaneshwar was talking from Bhagavad Gita, Nivrtinath sat there in complete attention, listening to when Jnaneshwar was talking from Bhagavad Gita. So Namdev thought, what a strange group of people. One person is sitting there like a stone, another person is continuously talking non-stop, and none of them have seen really Krishna. I have seen Krishna, and these people haven't even seen Krishna, and they are only talking all the time. This was going through Namdev's head. And this brother Jnaneshwar, who is the younger brother of Nivrtinath, he was talking all about the Vedantam all the time, all this complicated process of self-realization he was discussing. And another brother, Sopan, was sitting at the bottom and listening to it. And another girl, sister, Muktabai, the youngest of all, no emotions inside, sat and listened and looking at them all the time. Seeing all these things, and those people who have come to listen to these conversations of this Jnaneshwar's speaking from Bhagavad Gita, there were various people who were present there. One of them was a person who makes these clay pots. Kulalan they call it, isn't it? Kulalan. So, potter. He makes clay pots. And Gorakumbhar was his name. He made pots. So he was also present there. And after that, he will speak from Bhagavad Gita and they will engage in chanting the holy name, Namasangitram, and they'll had a very interesting kirtan afterwards. So this used to happen in different houses at different places. So one day, Namdev went there and sat there in their assembly, and it was going on from one house to another. So one day it was happening in this Gorakumbhar's house. And after that, they have prasadam also, just like our sangha. We'll have prasadam afterwards. So this was happening. So so these potters, you know how they check whether the clay pot has become fully ready or not. Once they have put it in the fire, they will take it out and they will knock it with a stick. By hearing the sound, they know whether the clay pot is perfect. It has taken. It's been cooked. In other words, it's ready for usage. So they had this. So this potter, Gorakumbhar, he had a stick with him. So our Namdev was present there, and after this whole program was over, that after this program was over, that they told him, that Janishwar told him, that go around and check everyone's with how much ripe they are with this stick. So this potter goes around with this stick. When it came to Namdev, Namdev didn't want the stick to be touched on him. He wanted to be away from that. So so at that point, in the Bhagavatam, if you look like this, you will see mentions here there, Kim Ascharya Dada Param. What is so strange about that? That when they... So he says there that Gorakumbhar was such a great devotee that when the clay, when they mix with the water, and then they use their feet to mix it properly, to get a fine paste out of the clay. So when this fine paste was made, one day it so happened that the baby, Gorakumbhar's baby, was lying there underneath this and didn't notice it, and the baby died. And it seems that Gorakumbhar's devotion could not remember anything what was going on. Even while all these devotees we are talking about, Nimurtinath, Janeshwar, Sopan, Muktabhai, and of course Namdev, Tukaram, Ekanath, they were a series of devotees who have executed Bhagavata Dharma with its perfection. In other words, they were so absorbed in Krishna, any material, they were busy with their material life also, but material life was not at all a concern for them. Tukaram's life is very interesting. Same thing with Namdev also. So this Gorakumbhar, the child died, he did not know anything what has happened. To such an extent he was absorbed in Krishna. Later on that baby was given life by Krishna's mercy. That is another story. Kim Ascharya Tada Param. But it is no surprise at all if these things happen. So, so this stick he was using, and the devotees who had this understanding that in this world all of them were so realized souls that they had known that in this world anything can happen. So one day Janeshwar told Gorakumbhar that go and give one smack to everyone's head with this stick, and then find out who is ripe and who is not ripe. That was the way. So Gorakumbhar took the stone and started banging on everyone's head. At that time, one chanted the holy name Krishna, another chanted Hari, a third person chanted Narayana. When it came to Gorakumbhar, Gorakumbhar had a problem. Gorakumbhar's problem was, first of all, he did not think very high of this potter. It's a potter after all, he thought. And and he went back and reported this to Janeshwar, that Namadev was resisting to be checked. So he went back to Janeshwar and told him, only one pot is not fully mature yet. He says to Janeshwar. Who says this? Gorakumbhar goes and says to Janeshwar, only one pot is not fully mature. That was referring to Namadev. So Namadev got upset that he is not mature. He is saying, I've been seeing Krishna all the time. None of these people have seen even Krishna, according to him. Whereas they are busy discussing Bhagavad Gita, and they are also absorbed in the discussion about Vedanta. What good is all that? This was Namdev's thinking. So that day he goes back and says to Krishna next day, when Krishna came to play with him, Namdev says to him that I was insulted by all the devotees whom you asked me to go and visit. They have actually insulted me and sent me back, he says. That's all what they have done to me. He says, I'm not going there anymore, he says to Krishna. So Krishna says to him, Krishna says to him, what did they talk about you? Namdev says that this Gaurakumbhar, he was banging on everyone's head, and when he started banging on my head, I said no. So he says that Gorakumbhar has thought that I'm not ready yet. He goes and reports that he is not fully ripe yet. So Krishna says to him, he said, all, that's not a big thing. You are not ripe. That means, maybe that's why he has said like that, he said. Says to him. So, so Krishna says to him, I can see you all the time. I'm playing with you. But what else do you want from me? So, anybody else has got it? Krishna says, did you notice one thing? That when you were with them, they never thought about me, as so they haven't got it. They were in a state of consciousness. Already they were experiencing Krishna's presence within. In such a state, they were engaged in their spiritual activities. Even me being not present there, they were able to engage in my service, engage in my in dhyanam, in meditation, in dhyan. So there is no their glories. Krishna says to Namadev that there is no point in feeling envy about them. That Namadev says to him that the greatest surprise is that although I have got you, when I'm not coming there, you get upset about me. But them, they didn't have my presence there, but still they were absorbed in me. Krishna wanted that Namadev to understand that realization of Krishna is not always that Krishna has to be present with you. Even in Krishna's absence, Jnaneshwar and others were fully Krishna conscious. That was their greatness. So, Krishna says to Namadev, for me to see you, I have to come to your house. Krishna says to Namadev. So, there is a state even higher than that. He says that in order to do that, you have to approach a spiritual master who has realized the truth. Now, all these things have happened before Namadev was initiated by the spiritual master. The relationship between Namadev and Krishna developed due to pure devotion inside. Krishna appeared to Namadev, and Namadev and Krishna had this playful relationship for a very, very long time, even before he was initiated. So it is after this that Krishna says to Namadev, no matter how much you have had my association, I had your association. In order to come to that standard of Jnaneshwar and others, who are Nurtinath and others, you have to come to approach a spiritual master, to that realized soul. And that is why, at that stage, Namadev was instructed to go and approach a spiritual master. So, Namadev says to him, that you gave instructions to Arjuna once, he's saying to Krishna, and you gave also instructions to Uddhava. Why don't you instruct me in the same way? Namadev was also very smart. He also says, you are talking to me about a spiritual master, so why don't you instruct me directly, like you did to Arjuna and Uddhava? Krishna says here, if I instruct you, it won't work. It won't work. The reason is that the mood what Arjuna had with me and the mood what Uddhava had with me, you don't have it. You see, that when a spiritual master is instructing a disciple, all these things are matters important. Even Krishna is saying that the mood Arjuna had with Krishna, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam, he says, isn't it? That surrender is there, inside. In other words, you can see from Arjuna's thoughts what state of consciousness Arjuna was. So therefore, Krishna says, I could speak Bhagavad Gita at that point. Similarly, in Ekadasha Skandam also you will see, when in the 7th chapter, when Uddhava addresses Krishna with that full surrender, Krishna talks Ekadasha Skandam to Uddhava. But here that surrender has not happened. Due to pure love of Namadev, Krishna has appeared and started this relationship with Namadev. But Krishna says to Namadev, in order that to come to a perfectional state, you have to approach a spiritual master, and this surrender must be there. So this incident with Gaurakumbhar was the first stage to direct Namadev in that direction. And it is after that the Namadev goes to another place where he was instructed to go. And that is when he went there he saw the devotees who were the guru whom he was supposed to go and see. He was lying down with his one foot on top of a Shivalingam. With one foot on top of a Shivalingam, he was lying there. So he goes there, and as soon as he saw this temple, where this devotee, the temple was very much in a dilapidated condition. There was nothing much happening. But this yogi was sitting there, to whom he was directed to. So Namdev goes there, and this yogi is lying there with one foot on top of a Shivalingam. So he sends to this yogi, this is the person whom I have to come to approach for my spiritual life. So he, in a very polite mood, he spoke to this yogi and says to him, maybe that he is not aware that the feet is touching a Shivalingam, he says to him. So he says to him that, oh, your feet is on a Shivalingam now, he says. Oh, I'm sorry, he said, I'll move my feet somewhere else. He moved somewhere else, another Shivalingam has appeared at that time, at that place. It happens to him. So when these things happen, Namadeva understood that the presence, Krishna's presence, simply to realize that it is only in one place or only in that one form is only a misunderstanding Namadeva had. And it is after that from this yogi, Namadeva later on understood the higher understanding of realization came to Namadeva. And so in Maharashtra, there is this five famous temples, Jyotirlingams. Jyotirlingams are they're called Nageshwaram, Trayambakeshwaram, and Gufneshwar. And in Pune, there is Bhima Shankar. So all those five temples in Jyotirlingam, there are total 12 Jyotirlingams. Out of that, five of them are in Maharashtra. One is in Somanath in Gujarat. One is in Srishailam in Malikarjuna temple in Andhra. One is in Rameshwaram. One is in Kedarnath. And like this, there are 12 of them. But five of them are in Maharashtra, and that's how the name Maharashtra has come. The name Maharashtram has come, not Chotarashtram, Maharashtram, because of this five famous present Shiva temples there. So, so the understanding what the understanding had, Namadeva realized this after this meeting with this yogi from a spiritual master, that his state of realization wasn't complete. Although he had all this relationship, Krishna had to educate him on the higher philosophical understanding of the truth. Though only then Namadeva afterwards realizes presence of Krishna in other living entities. He started dealing with others in that way. So, while talking about meditation, you can see that the devotee's relationship with Krishna in one level, it begins through dhyanam. Through dhyanam. But dhyanam takes to another stage later, where whatever knowledge the devotee is lacking, Krishna arranges for that devotee to have it from another source. From somewhere, it will happen to him. Whatever is lacking, that is provided by Krishna at that stage. So reaching that state of dhyanam or meditation is an important step in the spiritual life. That is why Krishna is discussing this 6th chapter, 42 verses in detail about dhyanam. Dhyanam for a jnani, for a bhakta and a yogi are through different ways. A jnani through realization of the self, in that meditation he gets absorbed and he gets captured by that. A devotee gets captured by Krishna through the process of chanting the holy name or through the loving relationship from the heart with Krishna starts flowing. When that priyam happens, bhakti develops in the heart through Srimad Bhagavatam or through the holy name or through the process of deity worship, whichever way it is, eventually the meditation and gets absorbed in Krishna. All that and a yogi through the process of yamam, neyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, the ashtanga yoga process. Whichever way it comes, ultimately they all reach the same state of realization. So devotee comes to the state, jnani comes to one state, and at that state, whatever that is lacking in the devotee, Krishna provides that to him, for his future spiritual life. We'll discuss that the next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.